So Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. And now after he gets into the philosophy of life here, we talk about the materialistic householders. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or in maintaining family members. Purport. The present human civilization is primarily based on the principles of sleeping and sex indulgence at night, and earning money in the day and spending the same for family maintenance. Such a form of human civilization is condemned by the Bhagavad school. Because human life is a combination of matter and spirit soul, the whole process of Vedic knowledge is directed at liberating the spirit soul from the contamination of matter. The knowledge concerning this is called Atma-tattva. Those men who are too materialistic are unaware of this knowledge and are more inclined to economic development for material enjoyment. Such materialistic men are called karmis or fruitive laborers, and they are allowed regulated economic development or association of women for said sex indulgence. Those who are above the karmis, that is, the jnanis, yogis, and devotees, are strictly prohibited from sex indulgence. The karmis are more or less devoid of atma-tattva knowledge, and as such, their life is spent without spiritual profit. The human life is not meant for hard labor for economic development, nor is it meant for sex indulgence like that of the dogs and hogs. It is specifically meant for making a solution to the problems of material life and the miseries thereof. So the karmis waste their valuable human life by sleeping and in sex indulgence at night and by laboring hard in the daytime to accumulate wealth. And after doing so, they try to improve the standard of materialistic life. The materialistic way of life is described herein as a nutshell, in a nutshell. And how foolishly men waste the boon of human life is described as follows. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paschatya De Satarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhupe Bhacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Vrishabhdeva in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam begins his teachings to his 100 sons. Nayam deho deho bhajan nirloke kastan karma arati vidvu janje. Tapo divyam putrakatyena sadvam yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. Now he's saying the same thing here that Srila Prabhupada is expanding on in this particular purport, that the human form of life is not meant to work hard like dogs and hogs who simply eat stool, as stated by Rishabhdev. Human life is meant for tapo divyam putrakadyanat sadvam. It's meant for austerity. Austerity to get us off the materialistic bodily conception of life and to raise our consciousness towards our natural consciousness. Material not consciousness is not the natural consciousness of the living entity. Whatever we describe in the way of materialistic life is simply a deviation from our pure natural consciousness, which is Jivar Surupai Krishnara Nitya Das. We are by nature, in essence, eternally the servant of the Supreme Lord in loving transcendental activity which is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of unlimited happiness. That is our nature. So this material world is contrary to our actual existence. So the idea is to somehow or other get away or get out of the materialist activities and take to Krishna consciousness. Because materialistic activities are simply a hard struggle to maintain oneself, that's all. And the pleasure derived here is just described. It's no better than what the animals experience. The animals, they eat, they sleep, they have their families, they have sex life, and then they also defend themselves in so many different ways. So it's been, you know, permeated throughout the Shastras that this type of life is not meant for human beings. Of course, there is a necessity to maintain the body, and that's kept at a minimum requirements. But beyond that, that atato brahma jigyasa, human life is meant to acquire into self-realization. Because the human form of life is rare. Now, it's not seen that way. We sometimes get the idea that, you know, there's so many humans and it's just like a common thing. But comparatively speaking, and when you can make, you make two types of comparisons. The first comparison, to compare the living entities that have fallen from the spiritual world with those who have not fallen. That is the conditioned souls and then the liberated souls, the Nitya Siddhas and the Nitya Bandhas. Nitya Bandhas are the conditioned souls. There is only a small portion of the total amount of living entities who come to this material world, very small, in proportion to, you might say, the total amount of living entities. But then again, for those who do come to the material world, how many actually, you know, actually understand what is the purpose of life? Very, very, very few. Yeah. Most living entities are engaged in activities that's described in here. And they don't know anything else, because this is what has been given to them as the way of life, to enjoy the senses. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yehi sparsas, yehi samsparsa jabhoga, dukkha yona evate havanta vanta kunte nateshu ramate buddha. He says that sense gratification or the contact with the objects of the senses are simply the sources of suffering. And then he goes on to say a wise person doesn't find delight in that. So this is what goes on in his life in the material world. And everyone accepts it and everyone is trying to expand upon it. Expanding by doing it in different ways, trying to gain some profit in the material sense by accumulating various types of material things, money, possessions, followers, and whatever else comes by way of material success. So it's a hard struggle. But then, at the end, even during the time that such persons have that, time is the factor that which destroys everything, and everything is taken away. So material life is a big zero. That's all it is, because you can't gain anything, and whatever you do gain, you lose anyway. You start with zero, and you end up with zero. But in the meantime, you're minus zero, because you wasted the most precious thing, human form of life. And as we were trying to indicate, the human life is very, very, very rare. Compared to the other species of life, there are five categories of living entities, and the humans are the smallest in the categories. All the other living entities and varieties are more profuse, much more. So human life is rare. It's not seen like that, but it is very rare. To get a human birth takes many, many lifetimes sojourning through the lower species of life and finally coming to the opportunity. And even that doesn't qualify one. It allows one, but doesn't qualify one for the goal of life. Qualification of goal of life means to understand what is the purpose of human life, which very few people have interest in. They're mostly interested in, as we described here, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending and accumulating a band of relatives, which will be destroyed in due course of time. That is, and along with them too. Now this is what goes on in material life. But those who actually understand the purpose of human life are rare. So to come to Krishna consciousness is extremely rare. Extremely rare. It says, Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita. I can't remember the actual Sanskrit, but he says, many take up devotional service and very few actually reach perfection, but even those who reach perfection, very few actually understand me. So how rare it is to actually have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that rarity less rare by his mercy, by making it available in a more easier, sublime, and direct way, and that is through the glorification of the Supreme Lord through chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So he's made the rarity less rare, because Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita when he was here, he said, Sarva Dharma Pradiksha Jam Mame Kam Sadhanam Prajam. I'm ready to help you when you surrender. So he made a condition. So Prabhupada describes, he says that Krishna was a hard guy. You know, he made it a little tough for us to actually come to that stage. And therefore he reconsidered and he thought, you know, I'm speaking and I'm offering and nobody's coming, maybe a few, so I have to make it easier. So then he comes at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he doesn't say anything. He says, chant, dance, and take prasad. And just keep doing it. Not that you just do it once. You continue to do it. And then, of course, if you like philosophy, that's there too. And then, of course, we're supposed to do certain other activities. But whether we live in the material world or whether we're in the spiritual circles, we still have to use our mind and senses for something. So activity is there also. Besides hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we perform other activities. So Krishna consciousness is really simple and easy. But to get to that stage is very difficult. So those who come to that stage are considered to be very, very fortunate. And they actually know, they are called vidvan. Vidvan, it means they're full of knowledge, or kovida. Not COVID, but kovida. Kovida means those who are actually intelligent. Same word almost. And therefore, this particular verse is really helping the devotees understand how foolish, or those who have some knowledge, how foolish material life is. Because it simply centers around these two, accumulating money, spending it on family members. But what is the happiness in material life? Prabhupada was, describing this, and he was saying there's no happiness in material life. None, zero, complete. But then again, then he goes to the acharyas, and then the acharyas give some concession. And I think it is Vyapati, one of the Vaishnava poets, he says there is happiness in material life. But he compares it to a drop of water in a desert. A person is in the desert, and they're there, and they're thirsty. And so you come along, and you say, here, my dear madam, sir, here is one drop of water. Please drink to your satisfaction. I think the person will become even more disturbed, because it'll just create greater anxiety for water. So it's not really to give a drop to a man or anyone who is thirsty is really an insult. And so that's what he describes. He says there is happiness in the war in this material world, but it's like a drop of water in the desert. And what is that happiness? Family life. But you ask people who are in family life and they'll tell you it's not so good. It It's a struggle to maintain. It's a struggle to develop. And it's there's so many problems. I'm always, people are always, and these are devotees, are always telling me the problems of family life. You have to sort it out. So even we find it even in devotional circles, the family life becomes difficult. But if you're Krishna conscious, it becomes less difficult. Not completely. So this is, unless we understand this principle completely, we won't be able to really make advancement in devotional service. What is that principle? That there's no happiness in the material world. If we're still looking for something in this world to give us some satisfaction, some peace, or some happiness, it will be very difficult to really stay fixed in devotional service. The mind will be diverted to trying to fulfill these desires in different ways, which will take us away from the process of devotional service. So Prabhupada was talking one time, and he was giving a very long discussion describing this particular point, that there's no happiness in the material world. But then one, you know, some of Prabhupada's disciples, you know, they challenged Prabhupada. Prabhupada liked that, because it brought out more and more philosophical teachings that were, you know, needed. So one devotee said, "But Prabhupada, the mode of goodness means happiness." And then Prabhupada responded, "Yes, but the mode of goodness also means knowledge. And that knowledge tells you there's no happiness." That was Prabhupada's response. So even those who think that let me elevate myself to the material mode of goodness and there will be less suffering, still they have to lose that, and they're also struggle to maintain it, and then ultimately, you know. In fact, this particular age, it is said that the mode of goodness is hardly even available. And it's mostly modes of passion and ignorance, which means hard struggle and simply suffering. The mode of passion is the hard struggle, and mode of ignorance is just complete suffering. That's all. Mode of goodness gives you a little bit feeling of relief from the difficulties of the lower modes, but ultimately, because mode of goodness is always challenged by the lower modes, it cannot remain stable. So no one can stay fixed in the mode of goodness. And even if they do, and of course they lose that in due course of time. So these verses are here to help us understand a little bit more that material life really doesn't have anything to offer. And this is important to understand. Material life is like trying to grab smoke. Now you can see smoke floating in the air, right? And somebody, there's some smoke. So if you think, "Oh, boy, there's a bunch of smoke, I'm going to grab it." So you put your hand in the air and you try to grab it, and then you open it, and what do you got? Nothing. So that's material life. It looks like there's something there. And that's the idea. That's called Maya. Maya means what appears to be something but is actually something else. That's what the word Maya means. It means, so the material energy is meant for there's two reasons why the material energy is there. One is to fulfill your desires to try to be happy in this material world. And the other one is to teach you you can't. And that it teaches you, and that is called the hard kick of the material energy, to help us wake up to the fact that there is no happiness in this material world. So staying fixed in devotional service means to be aware of this principle. And it's not simply the positive aspect, which is the essential aspect. That means the activities of devotional service. But one has to be clear that material life is simply suffering. That's all. The materialists won't admit that, because materialists, they live in the future. They don't live in the present, because there's no happiness in the present, and they're making plans in the future, and the idea that the future will be better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They lament about what happened in the past. They're not happy in the present, but they have big plans for the future. And that's material life. It'll get better. It'll get better. Because if they don't believe that, they can't live. As soon as they realize it's not going to get better, they become somewhat, you know, depressed and suicidal, or at least depressed. So they have to believe that material life will provide some kind of happiness. And now you see the present situation is material life is showing some of its real face. The suffering that is more and more obvious in today's world, which has always been there, but it's been given to a few people. Now it's being given to many people. So that is material life. It just comes. So for a devotee, it says there's two things you should always remember, and there's two things you should always forget. The two things you should always forget is you should forget all the good things that others have done. No, you should forget all the good things that you've done for others. And you should forget all the bad things other people have done towards you. These are the two things you should forget. Because it helps us to become humble, free from pride, free from the idea that there is someone means I must retaliate for whatever happens. So one should forget whatever bad things apparently have come by way of our situation in life caused by apparently other people. And all the good things that we've done. Oh, I'm such a good person. I gave so much money. I helped this person. And one becomes proud. And one starts to think in a wrong way. They think I'm the doer. They don't realize that behind it is the hand of the Supreme Lord. And the two things you should always remember is you should remember that death can happen at any moment. And that you should always remember Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. These two things keep us clear that time is short and the holy name is always available. But the materialists, they can't think like that. They have to think that they have to forget about death. That's why when you talk to the non-devotees, when you bring up this particular subject, sometimes they say, why are you so, you know, morbid? Why are you so negative? Why don't you talk about the happy things in life? Well, we actually are talking about the happy things of life by clearing away the other garbage first, and the real happiness is next life when you go back to Godhead. That's the real happy life, not this life of simply struggling in a way that simply causes us to, you know, lament the results of our activities. Yeah. No one's happy. Prabhupada said nobody in the material world is happy. They'll tell you they're happy because they have to believe that. But down deep, if you spend some time, you'll see what happy life is really like. Even the wealthiest people are miserable. In fact, the higher you go in the echelon in materialistic culture or materialistic lifestyle, you find more unhappiness. Those who are less materially developed have a tendency to be less in the mood of suffering than those who are. Because there's two kinds of suffering. There's mental suffering and physical suffering. And mental suffering is greater than physical suffering. Rarely, very rarely, a person will commit suicide from physical suffering. But always, mental suffering, when it reaches such a point, one wants to get out. It becomes... And statistics show... And these are calculated statistics that have been accumulated that people who are very, very materially well-to-do are more inclined and are inclined more to suicide and more stress and suffering like that. Why? Because they've achieved what they want, but they haven't found the happiness that comes that they were expecting with it like that. So this is material life. You can't win and you can't stop playing. That's basically the whole program. The spiritual life is whatever you gain in spiritual life. And Prabhupada would always say that. You never lose in due course of time. It becomes an eternal feature of one's existence. Even if you don't finish Krishna consciousness in this life, Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Even somehow, if one falls short of perfection, then one will gain the opportunity to bring their life to perfection in the next life by starting where you leave off. You know, in other words, anything done in material life is lost. Everything done in spiritual life is eternally in the bank account. It's never lost like that. Suchinam simatam gehe yoga brashta prajayate. Of course, one should not think, well, that's nice. That means, you know, I can take it easy, and if I don't get it all away, I got another chance. But that mentality is not accepted. Because Prabhupada would also say, whatever stopped you in this life from becoming perfect, it'll be there in the next life, and you still have to overcome that. And whatever anarthas, material desires are there. So they don't go away simply by changing, you know, life after life. And then, of course, but by the mercy of the Lord, He arranges for that soul to again begin where they left off. And one will come in contact with the process of pure devotional service again. But Prabhupada said, finish in this life. Don't waste time. Go back home, back to Godhead. And he said, Kali Yuga is only going to get worse. He said, don't stick around. So we have the opportunity, and that is that Krishna's holy name is so powerful and so direct and so purifying that in this life, if we seriously chant the holy names and engage nicely in devotional service, that means and engaging with devotional service with enthusiasm in whatever service we do. Sometimes we find ourselves enthusiastic in one type of service and another type of service. It becomes more mechanical. And some we just think, when is it going to be over? But service is on the absolute platform. Srila Prabhupada would also say that. One way may be out there distributing books and preaching. Another one would be in the temple, washing the floor of the temple. He said that because it's all devotional service, Krishna accepts it in an equal way. So one service is not better than others from the point of view of the nature of devotional service, because what pleases Krishna makes devotional service the success. So if someone is out there doing something and they're not pleasing Krishna by their activities, and someone else is doing something less or maybe more menial, if they're pleasing Krishna, that is superior. Pleasing Krishna is actually the goal of all of our activity. And pleasing Krishna is understood by carefully understanding and following the instructions of the spiritual master. That becomes the foundation by which we can engage nicely in devotional service. So devotional service is easy. Just don't look towards material life for any kind of consolation or satisfaction. Because material life will simply find yourself again struggling. Sometimes I think, well, devotional service is a little too hard. I need a break, you know. You know, just loosen up a little bit, you know, go to the beach, you know, watch a movie. Something that kind of, you know, take the pressure off. Because for whatever reason. But all you do is just postpone. And then you not only postpone, but you actually make it difficult. I remember there was one devotee in New Vrindavan, that's where I started. And he would come. And he would stay And then it would get a little difficult from his point of view, and he would leave. And then after a few months or maybe even longer, he'd come back and be really enthusiastic, ready to go again. And then he would do that, and then he would engage more again, and then he would leave again. But each time he left, he stayed away longer. And eventually he never came back. So stay in it, even if it's difficult, because it's purifying. In fact, for devotees, the difficulties in devotional service are opportunities for advancement. And that's an absolute principle. It's not just a general principle. Whatever austerities we may have to face or accept, or even the obstacles they come, are opportunities to take shelter of Krishna and also to learn more about how to engage in devotional service. There's nothing inauspicious about devotional service on any level. So accept difficulties as opportunities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes in one of his prayers in Saranagati, he becomes very rhetorical. And he says, what is my happiness in my activities of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then he goes through a few things, and he ends by saying, my happiness is that the difficulties that I obtain in your service, my dear Lord, this is my happiness. He accepts difficulties as the source of happiness. Why? Because they're purifying. They lead to higher consciousness and they cause us to take more shelter of Krishna. And that's the goal of Krishna consciousness, is to somehow always remember Krishna. Sometimes we wonder why difficulty comes, and that's Krishna's mercy, simply to help us become more dependent on his mercy. The more dependent you are on Krishna, the more advanced you are. We have our intelligence, we have our abilities, we have our track record from past success, whatever that may be. But those things are not our qualifications. Our qualification in devotional service is complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And what does that mean? It means to offer our prayers to the Lord and pray for his mercy in any and every situation we find. And as Srila Prabhupada said, if you always remember the lotus feet of the Lord, or he says, actually, when you remember the lotus feet of the Lord, there are no obstacles. And simply by that remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, all the obstacles in devotional service are destroyed simply by that remembrance. That's how powerful Krishna's lotus feet are. So we have to remember with attachment, not just, whimsically. But this is the power of the voice. So we have so much, what we say, mercy available. So never get discouraged by obstacles or difficulties or reverses or even whatever happens. These are all opportunities to go deeper. And we see, just for example, I'm speaking to so many people now during this last year and plus of this restrictions, lockdowns, and so many other apparent, retracting of liberties. And devotees are saying, this is the best ever. I'm reading more, I'm studying more, I'm chanting more, I'm preaching more. Yeah, it's actually that. And I can say that also on a personal level. I actually was able to spend more time chanting and more time reading and more time just doing other services and along with increasing the preaching. So you'll see that even apparent, because the material energy cannot affect the activities of a devotee in devotional service. If we allow it, it may affect our consciousness, but in a general sense, it cannot affect us. So therefore, obstacles are actually opportunities. Of course, we don't want them, but if they come, accept them in that way. can accept them in that way as challenges or opportunities for making, for becoming more and more dependent on the mercy of the Lord. So this verse is quite nice. It's quite interesting because it just shows the futility of material life. So what is the difference here? Prabhupada makes the point, atmatattva, or that knowledge which is directly related to the soul's connection with Krishna. Because they are devoid of atmatattva, they simply are on the animal platform of life like that. Don't be fooled by the materialists. They may look nice and speak nice and also have not. But it's like an apple that looks nice on the outside, but when you cut it open, you find something in the inside that's not so nice. Maybe some worms or some deterioration. So material life is simply meant for suffering, that's all. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly how long I'm supposed to speak for, but I'll stop here and see if there's any questions and comments. Yes, Prayojana? Yeah. What is the official class ending time? Huh? 8:30 is the time? Okay.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Actually, it clarified many matters for myself, and that now I'm no longer doing the service I used to. So, this growth, though it calls me some... a lot
don't,
of
don't what?
It calls me great difficulties. So now, but what was interesting... Actually, quoting from the Queen's speech, amazing speech, actually, because in her speech she talked about actually looking at the good that is coming from what is...
apparently not good.
Apparently nothing.
Yeah.
And she
expressed... Who's this? Who's this speaking?
The Queen of England.
Queen Kunti?
No, Queen of England, believe it or not.
Oh, Queen...
And she said, however...
Queen Elizabeth, right?
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth. She expressed that actually in the faith that she has in God, that she said, if we can see the good that is being sent us, and that because God is the foundation of all these things, we must look at what good is coming out of it? You know, and in terms of what we can do in our lives. And she based this on her her faith to see the good that God, by God's grace, is giving us other things to consider in our lives. And she considered that actually it was her faith that was her foundation in God's divine providence, that all was there for our acknowledgement that there's a higher power at work,
but,
and that we can see the good.
There's also the good that may be being expressed here is the benefits that come by material life.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
But the good we're talking about is the opportunity to go deeper towards Krishna or closer to Krishna. Either through knowledge or through, association with the Lord. So there's two different kinds of good here. And it's not that our faith in God gives us more opportunities for something, temporary or material. That's more or less what is being expressed here. But our faith in God is to bring us closer to God and to give us knowledge of, our relationship with God. And ultimately bring us back to the Lord in the spiritual world. So material bad for us is also good because it helps us take shelter of Krishna more. It's not about, getting some benefit in a material way. That may also come, but that's not the goal. That's just, you know, extra. The real good is we become more Krishna conscious. That's the real good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for your wonderful class. I wanted to ask, you mentioned this point that if we still have this illusion that some arrangement, some material arrangement can make us happy, then it is an obstacle in our devotional service. So I wanted to ask, how do we get out of this illusion?
Just don't believe it. There's a lot of things that come our way that we just don't believe, because it's not true. But getting out of it also is understood by making advancement in Krishna consciousness. When we taste the happiness of devotional service, then we're more convinced through our own experience that this is what we're looking for. And then that kind of waters down this feeling that, well, yeah, there's something out there, or these plans are actually going to be successful. So, yeah, as you increase the sunlight, the darkness diminishes. As you increase your bhakti, so maya becomes less and less effective upon us like that. But in the meantime, we should also theoretically be clear, based on hearing from Guru and Shastra, that there's no happiness here. That's why we listen to Srila Prabhupada's words, his books, to remind us what is the reality, even though we may not be completely realized, we understand that this is true because it's coming from a pure soul. But the success comes when we get the higher taste. Mm-hmm. What is it? What is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? 259, yeah. What is the first word? If I know the first word, I know the verse. I can't remember the first word. 259. Okay. Visaya vinivartante nihirasya dehinam swapa apasi dharmasya. No, that's another one. Visaya vinivartante nihirasya dehinam varga nivartante. Yeah. By getting the higher taste, which is Krishna consciousness, then one can give up the lower taste. Then it becomes natural and easy. So we have to go for the higher taste. And that comes by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. There's where the higher taste comes, mostly. But we also can get higher taste by becoming absorbed in our devotional activities. But mostly when we hear about Krishna, when we learn about Krishna, when we just, you know, center our life around Krishna, the personality of Godhead, that higher taste comes, because everything about Krishna is wonderful. So, you know, spend as much time as you can hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna in different ways. There's where the higher taste comes. Does that help?
Thank you very much. That's wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj. My question is, what if the obstacles we face cause us to make offenses?
What does?
If the obstacles that we face
cause us to make offenses?
Yeah, such as to do with the mind being troubled.
The mind becomes angry or vengeful. Something, we blame somebody else for the obstacle that's coming in our way. Well, Prabhupada said, don't be disturbed by the instrument of your karma. What's coming your way is being delivered. but it doesn't mean that person who's delivering is the cause of that, what's happening. It's coming either one or two ways. It's because of some karmic activity that you're meant to experience, or it's Krishna's arrangement to purify you from something, or to teach you something, either one. So, you know, we have to see it in that way. If we somehow react in the wrong way by blaming and criticizing and maybe lashing out to the object of our misery, and then, yeah, then you'll commit offenses. So I'll try to avoid that. Therefore, be a little introspective when things happen like that. Think, well, why is it... I guess the first question I would ask is, okay, Krishna, you sent this, why? Let me try to understand why I'm getting this, why is happening. And then from there, you can start to maybe explore different areas or get advice from different devotees. But if we, you know, react without thinking, or act without thinking, we might say something or do something which is really what we don't really mean, or it's not even has anything to do with what's happening. So be a little bit thoughtful when something like that happens, if you can. Like one time this happened in London. I was given, and somebody gave, they gave me a note. It was passed to me by someone else. And the note was, Maharaj, when you lead kirtan, stop humming when the response is being done. Because I used to have that habit when I would sing. And then when the devotees would sing back, I would hum with it into the microphone. I got rid of that. It doesn't happen anymore. So I got this message from seeing some senior devotee who was complaining about my humming. But he didn't talk to me directly. He gave it through a note. So I got disturbed, not because of what was being told to me, but because it was done through a note. Rather than the person. So I was thinking, I was growling for a while. But then I thought, well, you know, maybe I can learn something from this. Maybe I'll stop humming. And I did. From that day on, I was hum-free, you know. And then later on, that same person, I saw him about 4 months later, after I returned to London. He said, you know, Maharaj, I sent you that note. You know, I've been feeling bad ever since. I said, yeah, me too. So he apologized. So that was it. But, I started to accept, okay, what is being used as a criticism to me, and maybe I can learn from that and stop blaming this person for whatever they did. So that's one way that we don't always successfully handle our situations, but that was a rare time. But we have to think, well, what can I learn from this situation? What can I gain from this? If I can't learn or even gain anything, at least I can remember Krishna. Then that is success. Does that help a little? Yeah. Yeah, we should be a little thoughtful when things come rather than reactive. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.
The question I have is about, in terms of the parampara and the devotees, they consider themselves the most fallen. And I'm wondering how do they have a higher taste and still have that attitude as well?
To consider ourselves most fallen? If you get the higher taste, then you might forget you're most fallen, because the higher taste is a higher taste. And you think, wow, I must be advanced. I'm getting the higher taste, right? But when you realize that higher taste is really small compared to the real higher taste, that is the ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, which is the soul's natural proclivities. So always realize that whatever mercy you receive, either some body congratulating you, praising you, or some mercy you receive from the Lord or from any situation, it's not due to your, you know, endeavor. It's due to the mercy of the Lord. And so if we consider ourselves, well, I did this and therefore I got this, and we're simply on the mechanical fruit of platform, it's in the mode of passion. So whatever comes, whatever mercy, whatever higher taste comes, we should be grateful for that and thankful, and at the same time give credit to the Lord, the devotees, the spiritual master. Like that. Not that we become proud or what we say, thinking, well, now I'm making advancement. There was one book distributor. Do I have time to tell the story? Yeah. One book distributor, he was distributing books in Europe. He's a good, he was one of the best book distributors. He told this story in public. So he was distributing so many books, and he met this one lady, and she said, "Oh, you know, what you're doing is so wonderful. You're helping so many people. These books are so important." And she bought so many books, and she started praising him for what he, for doing it. So he was feeling a little proud after that. And that pride somewhat stayed with him when he was carrying on. And so he was, later on he met another man, and he was trying to give this man a book, and the man didn't want it. And then finally, he was a little, you know, exertive, and finally the man said, "Let me see that book." And he looked at it, he said, "Oh, yeah, I know these books, Hare Krishna. Yeah, and I can read in these books, and it says here, what are the different qualifications of people who practice your practice, and I can see you don't have any of them. So you read the book, you need it more than I do." He gave it back to the devotee. That was a nice lesson, huh? Because he was feeling proud, and Krishna sent him this nice man to help him get over his pride. You know. Yeah. You read the book, you need it more than I do. So that was pretty sharp, I mean, but that's what happened. Yeah. He told that in public, so I don't. That's a. So yeah. So if we become proud of the mercy we receive, then we will get some other mercy to help us overcome that mercy. So don't become proud. And if we maintain some pride due to some success, so-called success in devotional service, then Krishna will kick you a little hard. You know, he'll remind you nicely until, if you don't get it, then it comes a little harder. Like that. So always understand that there are five factors of any activity, and you and the living entity is one of them. Four other factors make up all activities. And ultimately, Krishna says, "I am the cause of all the results of activities." He gives the results. Does that help?
Yes, thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. I saw some hands over here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any more on the lady's side? Yeah? No? Okay.
Thank you for the class. So I think my question is probably a collation of a lot of the existing questions, so hopefully it won't be too long. But you mentioned that materialists don't live in the present because they're always searching for the happiness in the future.
They're always planning for the future.
But even as devotees, we find that we're looking for like campaigns, etc., etc. And a lot of times, at least myself, I find that part of the success, part of the happiness gets tied to trying to do something in that. It might even just be a small devotional service that we want to do well for Krishna. And sometimes we'll find that it doesn't actually go well. It might, you know, for whatever reason. And obviously, I understand that we should be seeing Krishna's hand in it. But how can we practice actually being happy in the present, even when things mess up in our devotional service itself?
Well, we should try our best. Well, you're saying even if we try our best and it doesn't come out, well, we should think, well, either Krishna didn't want it to come out that way, or maybe I could have did it a different way and made it better. You know, you throw it back on yourself and you look, say, well, you know, let me try better and let me try hard. Let me learn from what mistakes I made this time and next time. Because in devotional service, there's no failure. There's just the process of learning. You can't fail, because it's not about, you know, gaining or losing. It's about serving the Lord, that's all. So we always try to serve better with more devotion and with more quality. So we learn, yeah. And but sometimes we feel bad because we think, well, you know, it didn't come out as the way I wanted it. But that's good. That's called transcendental anxiety. That inspires you to try harder next time, or to look within yourself and see what needs to be improved, you know. Yeah, we can do it and see it that way. It's an opportunity for improvement. There's never any loss. That make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, good. Okay, then we complete everything. Yes, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.